you very much for joining us for another day where the From the Horses Mouth team look ahead to a wonderful week of racing. It's Galway, it's Goodwood, it's Ruby Walsh, it's Matt Chapman, it's Fran Berry. Gentlemen, it's fair to say when we last talked, I don't think we were quite aware as to how much rain was going to fall and how things would change at Goodwood. And boy, did they change. Matt, you napped up Stradivarius. You didn't nap up a loser.
No, got my money back. I was pleased with that. Look, the rain did muck things up a little bit, and it's fair to say the Goodwood Cup was a pretty horrific renewal of the Goodwood Cup. Having said all that, at least we got the right horses running in the right races, so it wasn't all bad.
It's a start, anyway. It's a start.
I don't know what you're talking about. If only we'd known a 3-year-old filly was running in a 2-year-old maiden. 4-1, she wouldn't have gone off.
You know what I was thinking, Patrick? If Aidan O'Brien must have been so disappointed with the runner up that it couldn't beat a horse rated in the 70s. Like, they thought, oh, maybe we're beaten by this 1 to 2-year-old. And then they look at it, oh, it's only rated 70. Ours is absolutely useless.
Well, she got the result in the end. Twinkle indeed. Fran, you were there at the track. I remember watching an RT. Ruby was reading out the IHRB Twitter account. Very well done, Ruby. Fran, must have been very confusing at the track, getting these kind of details through this late on.
Yeah, but pre-race, I was doing the paddocks for Racing TV and done Darren Wells, Aidan O'Brien's, and wasn't really impressed by them. You know, Darren Wells didn't actually look that well, the odds on favour. I said, I can't wait to see this newcomer, Jessica Harrington's. Here she comes in the shot, number one. God, this is a really good-looking filly. A lot of strength to her. And for me, she blah, blah, blah. And she is the pick of the paddock. So so I tried to back her. My man didn't answer the text, so I had a double loser. So that was that. And God, nothing was surprising racing. It's just every day.
Hold on. When you say your man, what, you just go, JP? JP?
It begins with a J, actually, is right, Matt, yeah.
Where are you, JP? Get out of the pool in Barbados and answer my text.
We probably would have got paid as well, so it was like a double blow, wasn't it?
You would have got paid with Paddy Power anyway. We paid out the 3-year-old winner of the 2-year-old maiden, yeah. We paid out on Twinkle as well, which was a justice payout, which was very generous. But anyway, right, look, let's hope for less drama, less rain and more winners. Let's look ahead to day 3 at Goodwood. And Matt Chapman, as you are part of the ITV coverage, we're going to come to you first for the 150, which kicks off the card. It's a wide open handicap over a mile and a quarter. Arian Power, 4-1 favourite. Alpha Dell, 9-2. Patient Dream, 6-1. 15-2. King Franco and Tara Shook. Cadder, 8-1. Shadwell, big hand here. Dingle, 9-1. Double figure odds the rest. Mr. Chapman, kick us off with a winner.
Very tricky opener, particularly because, of course, at the time of speaking, we're not absolutely sure whether the ground will have dried out by that first on Thursday, or indeed whether it have got softer, because it's very in and out, the weather. Having said all that, I'm going to go for a horse who likes a bit of juice on the basis there'll still be give around. And that horse is Patient Dream. Rafe Beckett had his first double at Glorious Goodwood ever on the first day. Ray Dawson takes a bit of weight off. So the gelding actually has less than 8 stone on his back, which is very unusual for a handicapper. So I'll go with that horse, stays the trip, goes with juice, is in good form, trainer going well, jockey's very talented for his claim. What's not to like? Patient Dream each way in the 150.
Mr. Berry.
I like Cadder of Mark Johnson's. William Buick taking a ride. I know it's the Hamdam have connections, have a couple in it. I know he's a bit more weight than a lot of his rivals. However, he's by Night of Thunder. If the ground stays on the soft side, he will play to his strengths. Wasn't beaten too far at Newmarket when last seen on fast ground. Slower ground will definitely enhance his chances.
Cadder for Fran. Matt's busy typing away back in Cadder with his man there in the background. Ruby, your thoughts?
Don't have an opinion, PK. Wide open, listen to the others.
Very quick thoughts from Ruby Walsh there. Right, we'll move very quickly on to the 225 at Goodwood. This is the Richmond Stakes. It's a Group 2. Asymmetric, the 5-2 favourite. Perfect Pair, 3-1. Gubbus, of course, was a lovely winner of the Weatherby Super Sprint at 3-1. 6-1. Frank Hickey, unfortunately, on holidays, tipped him up as well. I have to mention that. 6-1. Ebro River. Katura, 10s. 11-1. Coonan and 14s. Bar. Come on, Ruby. You got to have a thought on the Richmond.
I do, yeah. Asymmetric for me. Katie consigned him. My sister Katie consigned him as a prize-up horse. I watched him win Kieran Goodwin on his first start. He then went to Newmarket and beat Stirling Knight, was second to Lusail at the July meeting, which is a really good run. That was an incredible time, if memory serves me right, in the July Stakes, with course form on his side. Martin Harley riding him 6 furlongs, I think asymmetric.
150,000 guineas pre-sale purchase. Fran, any thoughts on Richmond?
I stand a bit of form. If he goes in ground, perfect power, beating Gobert's goal in Ryle Ascot. I know Gobert's goal might have been on the wrong side. However, he was a ready winner at the Curra in Group 2 company in the Railway Stakes. Perfect power. The Fahey team had a big opinion of him going to Ryle Ascot, duly obliged, and going an extra furlong on a sharp 6 furlongs at Goodwood, I think, will play to his strengths. And he's a bit of value in relation to some of the others, but it is a very tight race. Alan King, what about him yesterday? Group 1 winning trainer now.
Yes, going very well. And Holly Doyle getting her second. Matthew Chapman, your thoughts on Richmond?
I'm still trying to get over the fact that Fran Berry's turned up for this in what can only be described as a dodgy movie hotel set. I have no idea what he's been doing overnight, but
hang on, at least he's not rooming with Jason Weaver.
Well, this is true, but I expect to find whatever he's been up to behind a red button somewhere one day in the future.
I think he should really ask your advice now to put those fancy backgrounds in. It definitely will be the way forward for Fran.
The reason those fancy backgrounds are in Ruby is that so people don't know I'm in a dodgy movie hotel set.
That's what I was alluding to, but I was trying to give Fran a gentle reminder as to look at Matt, take some advice from him, don't listen to him, just watch what he's doing.
At least the bed is made, Fran. By the way, for those who are listening, this is a podcast, obviously, and Fran Berry is in, I'm sure, a lovely hotel in Galway, but the bed is made. Well done, Fran.
It's day 3 of Galway, lads. Come on, look, it looks actually pretty respectable in comparison.
it's the half of the bed that we can't see we're interested in, Fran.
No, Matt, it's the room next door, the interconnecting one.
She's already been kicked out.
I've been typing away, and JP apologies that he didn't message yesterday. He says he'll message back today. Right. I like similar type of horse to Ruby, actually. I'm going for the July Stakes form, but the horse who was back in fourth that day, Ebro River, who I just think is going to enjoy these conditions, loves soft ground, got a bit more experience than some of these. James Doyle on board, massive plus, one of the best in the business. Hugo Palmer, the trainer. So, look, from the same race as Ruby's gone, let's hope that July Stakes form holds up with Lucelle. But I'm going to go each way, Ebro River. And remember, it's owned by the people who sponsor this meeting.
Yes, indeed, the Qatar team. 3 different selections in the Richmond Stakes. There you go. If the waters weren't muddy enough, our team have definitely muddied it further. Right, the Gordon Stakes is traditionally, it's a very good race, but also it can be a pointer to the St. Ledger later in the season. Wordsworth is the 9-4 favourite after his excellent run in France. Yibber, 4-1. Third Realm, great run in the Derby. He's 4-1. 8-1 Youth Spirit and Ottoman Emperor for Johnny Murta. 8-1 also for Sir Lucan, who beat Wordsworth when last seen, and 10-1 and bigger the rest. Right, Ruby, the Gordon Stakes, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, obviously Wordsworth is the favourite, and if you're going to read his form in Longchamp literally, you can see why, but I'm a Yibber fan. He's run behind Lone Eagle here at Goodwood, looks rock solid, it's gotten stronger since. Obviously he was disappointed in Chester behind El Drama, but before that in Sandown behind Alan Quir with Adair just in front of him, he raced really close to the pace that day, Yibber, and it seemed to suit the horse that were coming from off it. I think Yibber is a pretty decent horse, and I think he could overturn the favourite.
Fran?
I look very impressed by Yibber, what he'd done in Newmarket. However, Wordsworth, I want to take him on for all that. He's got very good classic form, Group 1 form in the locker. Quick turnaround for that run in France. Sir Lucan beat him in Navan, and Sir Lucan is ridden by Frankie Dettori. He's definitely very interesting running back here again in Goodwood. However, Ottoman Emperor, I've been waiting for this horse to get up to 1.5 miles. He's been class, has been getting him away with winning in lower classes races, but over 1.25 miles. He only gets going inside last furlong. Put 2 furlongs on him tomorrow. I think he'll take quite a bit of beating. And at 8-1, I'm very interested in see Johnny Murta, how he goes. He's already had a Ryle Ascot winner this year. He could have a UK Group 3 winner.
Interesting. Ottoman Emperor, nice price. Matt?
Two of my favourite Dubai owners in this for different reasons. Sheikh Mohammed Abaid, the military man, you don't mess with him unless you want to be messed with. And also Ahmed Al-Sheikh, the green team racing, you've got Youth Spirit. I think Third Realm's the one here, the Derby fifth. Beat the Derby winner, Adair, at Lingfield in the Derby trial there. Probably didn't quite run up to his very best in the Derby, but was still fifth ahead of Youth Spirit. I think third round will win this for Andrea Azzini, the Italian. Oh, yes.
All right, lads, we've tipped up six horses in the last two races. If we can't find winners in those two races, we may give up. I think it's fair to say. The big one is, of course, the Nassau Stakes. It's the 3:35, a mile and a quarter for the fillies and mares. Orderia, a 6-4 favourite, the Breeders' Cup heroine. It's 5-2 for Joan of Arc. Lady Beauthorpe, she's, of course, the Prix de Diane winner. 11-4, Lady Beauthorpe. Empress Josephine, keeping the French team for Coolmore. Frankie de Torre, Ballydoyle number one, 11-1. It's 11-1 for Zayada and 40-1. Bigger the rest. Matt, you go first this time.
Well, as I will have written in the paper on Thursday, the stakes, and I emphasized the word stakes, have always been very high for Joan of Arc. But let's hope rather than burning at one, she burns up the Goodwood track here. I think Joan of Arc is an absolute good thing. I really do. I just think she's going to hack up, basically. Mainly due to the pace of the race. I think they're going to go an absolute cruel. That's not going to suit Lady Beauthorpe. It's not going to suit Ordera, who both have a turn of foot off a strong gallop. And I think Aidan will fix this, that they go a crawl and Joan of Arc will be either on the lead or sitting second. And I think the Diane winner will absolutely hack up.
A strong case for Joan of Arc. Fran, your thoughts?
Is there any way to put a different voice to mine when I say these words? I agree entirely with what Matt Chapman says. I just can't believe I'm saying this, but it's Joan of Arc.
I just say at this point, I've always hugely respected you. Now, you know, Ruby came along and he dominated the TV ranks, but you're kind of taking over. And I'll even forget that Jessica Harrington incident that we had all those years ago. I absolutely think
there was an incident yesterday as well, Matt.
I know. Look, I think you're brilliant and the future, to be quite frank.
Thanks, Matt. So it's also Joan of Arc for you, Fran, as well, for all the same reasons Matt said. Ruby, are you going to make it a hat-trick for Joan of Arc?
No, PK, there are certain things about this podcast that I don't enjoy. And, you know, I felt hard and Fran here was great, but from time to time, and it kills me. It happens, you know, it does happen more often than I thought it would, whereby I have to concur with Matthew of the Chapmans.
Oh, no.
It really is soul-destroying.
I'm actually literally going to record this podcast and put it on my show reel. It's going to be the first thing on my show reel.
Joan of Arc, and I think myself and Fran Berry have stooped to an all-time low. Only if you'd come to us first, PK.
I know.
We wouldn't have had to do this to ourselves.
He'd be agreeing with us rather than the other way around.
Exactly. You know, that was just poor timing. Poor timing.
No, you know, the worst thing about this, when it finishes fifth,
we'll be blaming Matt Chapman. He's straight our judgment.
I suppose when it does get beaten, we could reenact the Joan of Arc scene with Matt in the fire. Maybe.
You'd have plenty of takers to go to that particular event. I'd say for old Matt Chapman on the stakes. Okay, well, Matt, did you believe that you can talk to God? I mean, that's what she said. So, do you have a direct line?
Well, I mean, what, Joan of Arc? I mean,
no, he just thinks he's God. He doesn't have a direct line. He's there all the time.
She only lived to the age of 19, I think, Joan of Arc. So whatever chat she had with the good Lord, they didn't work very well, did they? Either that or he just said, look, love, come up to me and join me as quick as you can.
And she did.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, lovely history lesson from the lads. Everyone agrees Joan of Arc is the bet in the Nassau. Just one more race at Goodwood. The ITB coverage are finishing off with a handicap each day this week, it seems. A 7-furlong nursery on this occasion. Art Bracken is 3-1, 5-1 for Adjuvant Aswan, 6-1 as is Highland Premier, 8-1 then for Rabassa, Roshi Murphy and Andrew Balding, as is South Audley and Mayfair Stroll. Right, Matt, you can go first this time. No, you went first last time.
Hold on.
Oh, you went first last time. Fran Berry, you go first this time if you have an opinion on this.
Yeah, Adjuvant, Ryan Moore booked for Michael Bell for the yellow and black colours of Bounds. He's by New Bay. He's a dual winner. New Bay's progeny literally grow leg on soft ground. And I think this horse will take quite a bit of beating tomorrow off a mark of 85.
Lovely. Matt, I'll go to you this time.
I'm going to go with All Born. Okay. I imagine Richard Oz will be all over this horse on ITV because many will remember there was a horse called All Born trained by Ray Guest, arguably actually the best horse Ray Guest has ever trained. It finished second in an E.P. Taylor. Anyway, this is a different horse and there's no relevance to that whatsoever. It's got the same name. I like Allborn. Andrew Boarding, he's absolutely flying this year. He really has had a tremendous year. Holly Doyle, she had a treble on the first day. Everything is set. Three runs into the handicap. Remember that, Fran? Three runs into the handicap. Wasn't that your favourite idea?
It used to be the fifth run when they peak for me, Matt, usually. But
33 to 1, Matt. 33 to 1, Allborn at the current prices. Ruby, had you any thoughts on the nursery?
Yeah, I just want to know, Matt, why your man Oisin has got off Arjuvant to ride Robasta.
Hold on. Carry on talking. I'll give him a call and get back to you. Hold on.
Thanks.
Okay, we will move on to Galway while Matthew gives Oisin Murphy his best bud, as we know, a ring, and gets him on the pod, I'm sure, soon. Right, let's talk Galway, lads. We're Galway Hurdle Day now. The jumpers are obviously have been here for a while, and we've got a lot of races and a lot of Willie Mullins entries. So, Fran, Ruby could be doing a lot of the talking for this portion of the podcast. The first race is the Guinness 4-year-old Novice Hurdle, and it's due off at 4:35. Ruby, there's two in it for Willie, Far Out and Tax for Max. What are the thoughts?
Yeah, look, Paul has gone for Tax for Max. Obviously, he has an official rating of 133 and a receipt of £7 from Far Out. That kind of means Far Out has to run over 140 to beat Tax for Max if you're taking it literally on paper. That said, Tax for Max has had three goals. He's still a maiden, albeit two of them were in quite good races, one behind T. Hupu and the other in the Triumph Hurdle. But he did flop in a maiden hurdle at Tipperary behind Slip of the Tongue, whereas Far Out went to Cork and beat Son of Hypnos in an absolute canter. Purely, I like winners. I would be with the horse that was actually went and won a race. So I would be with Far Out here over Tax for Max.
Interesting. Fran, any thoughts on that opener? We move on.
Very interested in Carrera. I don't know if it's a bet, but getting the weight allowance after being beaten by Ilmig, who reopposed tomorrow, just interested, given the form of Emmett Mullins' horses, of course, he'd win on Monday. He'll probably win the last on Wednesday at Galway, and you have to take notice of that. Jack Kennedy booked to ride is interesting.
Very eye-catching jockey booking. On to the 10 past five, which is a beginner's chase now on the, the preview pod. Ruby, we asked you for a few horses to watch out for, and as per usual, you picked out Novice Hurdlers and beginner's chases because you knew that they have a better chance of winning than Guinness than Galway Plate and Galway Hurdle horses. And Blueberry was a horse you did mention, and I see he's in this 5-10.
Yeah, look, it looks to me a match between Blueberry and City Island, two former Cheltenham Festival winners. City Island is probably a little bit disappointing last year, but he does have chase form that Blueberry doesn't have. That said, I think the trip is ideal for Blueberry. 10-year-olds probably don't win that many beginner's chases. Having said that, Faheem was 11, was even 12 when he went chasing. But I think Blueberry's in great nick. I wouldn't put anybody off backing him. And City Island is the obvious danger.
Any thoughts on that, Fran?
Yeah, City Island struggled a bit. Ruby might explain this with the winter chase fences. Seem to struggle to get over them. Different proposition, maybe Galway tomorrow on smaller fence, Ruby?
No, Fran. He ran in Nace, didn't he? He'd run in Nace. Nace isn't a big track. Now, we could say maybe deep ground, going in a bit further, having to get up over them. But the fences in Nace aren't big. It's a great place to start a beginner. So I think Galway takes as much jumping as Nace does.
Interesting.
Okay, we'll see how Blueberry and co get on in City Island as well. The Novice Chase is a grade 3. It's due up at 5:45. William Mullins saddles 3 in the race, declares 3 anyway. Fandy Blues, Rabinia and Anti are the 3, Ruby.
Yeah, look, they're safely numbers, I suppose, PK, but unfortunately they can't run in a relay. And I think they'd have to if they're going to beat Jill and Lyme from what I've seen at Killarney. And Limerick, she got through in Wexford, but that's all she did. She wasn't impressive there. But she does look a really exciting talent. I thought Rabinia, she was only 180 in Hurdler, but I think she ran way above that in her first start over fences. I think she was going to give Lady Breffney a big race that on that occasion when she fell at 2 out. So I think the each way one is probably Rabinia, but I'd be a massive fan of Gin on Limes.
Okay, Gin on Lime, very interesting there for Henry de Bromhead. Fran, any thoughts on the grade 3?
Look, if the 8 runners stay in the race, Gin and Lime, we have maximum respect for. But if you want to play one at a bigger price, Jungle Junction had a very eye-catching run to flat at Ballinrobe recently and is back, obviously with plenty of experience from handicaps. He could be one just outrun his odds. He'd probably be a double-figure price if the 8 run.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for Jungle Junction for Jess Carrington and Sean O'Keefe. It's the big one next, the 6:15, the Guinness-sponsored Galway Hurdle. €250,000. What a huge, huge pot. So no surprise that Willie Mullins has got many, many horses at it. Topping the weights will be Soldier. Patrick Mullins will ride that one. But won't be favourite. There's prices available now at the moment. Ciel de Niege, the pick of Paul Tennant. Was that a difficult choice, do you reckon, Ruby?
I'd say it was. PK Salier is a fair horse dropping down in grade. You know, definitely got a bit of spark back on the flat. Good win in the stall and ran well in Ascot after a quick turnaround. Burning Victory is a former winner of the Triumph Hurdle, albeit a bit lucky. We all know Goshen fell at the last or unseated at the last, and Dell allowed her to win. Her jumping has been a little bit sketchy, but I was only thinking about it this morning. I only managed to win one Galway Hurdle, and that was on Clondaw Warrior, and he didn't jump any of the 8 hurdles on that occasion. That's a lie. He jumped the last. The rest of them, he seemed to kick out of the ground. But so he can get away with it. That's, and she has won a flat race in France. She had a much lower flat handicap mark in France, so Willie sent her there to win, and she duly did. Salier, as I said, is coming down in grade, and Patrick Mullins has won the last 2 Galway hurdles, Aramon and Sharjah, with plenty of weight on board, or 2 of the last 3 anyway. It is an interesting race. Look, winner takes it all even, gets in off 1.32 at the bottom because he won a win in your in race in Bellystown. And I think that's a great idea, and I think it does make the races in Bellystown. I think Killarney should have one. I think it makes some of the other handicap hurdles that bit more competitive if you can get in to the Galway Hurdle by winning one of them. I think that's a great incentive. JP McManus is well represented. Paul rides Ciel de Niege, as you said. Blinker's first time on. I just think he wants a little further. He was second over 2.5 in Punchestown to Kashari. I've always felt he was a strong stayer. He was 9th in the county behind Belfast Banter. He was 2nd in the Betfair Hurdle 14 months ago or 16 months ago, whatever it is now. But against the field, I wouldn't be mad strong on one of Willie's. I won't be surprised if one wins. But I thought Call Me Lyrene of Denise Foster's with Jack Kennedy taking the ride was interesting. An Annexation of Henry de Bromhead's, Hugh Morgan claiming 5 off of that. I thought they were 2 second season novices that were very interesting in it.
Right, Fran Berry, tell us which wins the JP McManus race and does that horse win the Galway Hurdle?
Some opportunity for Simon Torrens, isn't it? He rides the Shunter on Wednesday, obviously in the plate, and he rides Winner Takes It All. Like Belfast Banter, I think the fact he won around the track, he's a strong traveller who's obviously came really, really to form the spring at Cheltenham and Aintree. He is definitely one that I'd like to be with, but wanted a bigger price, and maybe he's gone under the radar in the back of a disappointing run to flat last week. Jesse Evans, good winner at Killarney in a handicap hurl, was off in a break, was far too keen under Pat Taffin, beating at odds on at Killarney, just ran himself into the ground too fresh. He will have the pace to travel around that track, and I do think he's a live chance in a very open race.
Excellent stuff. So a few nice prices there for the Galway Hurdle. 6:15 live on RT as well as, of course, Racing TV. Right, there's a few supporting races. I'm scanning through the card, Ruby, and I noticed in the 7:15, MC Muldoon and, I'd say this one's a great crack to pronounce in the yard, Rambrantle Jack or something like that.
Ramblant Jack.
Ramblant Jack, my apologies. Well, MC Muldoon, what a run at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, ran a cracker Royal Ascot over 2.5 miles behind Rashawn. Look, he probably a little bit in and out over hurdles, was unlucky at the Punchestown Festival behind El Barra. They bypassed the second and third last hurdles and Patrick got caught down the inside. He couldn't get out. He came flying home. That run might nearly be good enough to beat Banbridge. I think he's the biggest danger of Joseph O'Brien's with JJ Slevin on board. The good winner of Bumper and Killarney and 2 hurdle races at Punchestown and Roscommon. He probably sets the standard, but look, MC Muldoon's Ascot run and plenty of his runs through the year. Echoes and Rain, El Barra, El behind El Barra, even behind Wide Receiver, they all give him a great chance.
And if punters are relatively new to the game, I'm wondering why does Patrick Mullins ride MC Muldoon and Paul Taylor?
Because his mummy owns them.
Simple as that. Simple as that. Keep it in the family. Fran?
Very hard. I would give a mention to Minds Made Up Train with Matthew Smith, Sean Flanagan riding. Matthew had a winner yesterday on Tuesday at Galway. He's had a lot of horse run well on the flat the first couple of days. He didn't run one of his better races at Kilbegan last season, but he might just be better for that run and he might have been targeted at that race in the 7:45.
Lovely. 7:45 actually, Minito Park, we just call it Minito Park, and Captain Kangaroo, Ruby.
Don't think either are overly reliable. I don't think either have brought their homework to the race course. At a push, Captain Kangaroo.
At a push. We don't need to be pushing. It's okay. And then tell us about the 2 in the bumper before we get the naps.
Yeah, Carfax and Dad's Lad. Patrick goes for Dad's Lad, who was 2nd here behind Razzle Dazzle Love in a winner's bumper at the September meeting last year. Jody Townend rides Carfax, who's had the one run. That was behind Classic Getaway at Tipperary. I think he's improved a good bit, PK, for his run in Tipperary, Carfax, fitness-wise anyway. I don't know about ability-wise, but fitness-wise. And yeah, Patrick's on Dad's Lad. I'd be going for Carfax.
Would you? Even though those horses carrying the Meath colours do seem to grow a leg when they get to Galway, don't they? They seem to.
Even though those horses carrying the Meath colours seem to grow a leg when they get to Galway, I would still be going for Carfax.
Okay, very interesting.
Dad's dad doesn't know what colours he's carrying.
No, he doesn't. Fran, had you any thoughts on Bumper or we go straight to Naps?
Happy to listen to Ruby and see what happens to the Mullins horses.
Aren't we all? Right, Matt, I'll bring Matt back in as well because we need to get his thoughts on his nap as well. Although I think he has just returned. He's had his brunch with Jason Weaver. Hopefully he got something out of it as well. Matthew Chapman, showing me his belly. What is your nap on this wonderful day's racing?
I think it has to be, and I'd be very surprised if it isn't a trio of naps on the same horse. It's going to be Joan of Arc.
Even if they had already decided that Joan of Arc was going to be the nap, I've got a feeling they might change. Fran, your nap on this brilliant day racing?
Joan of Arc, but I would give Ottoman Emperor a notable mention.
Oh my goodness. The agreement continues. And Ruby, can you make a hat-trick? Joan of Arc.
I'm just trying to figure out what else I tipped on the card so I can nap something else. And I'll probably go with Blueberry in Galway.
Blueberry and Goy in the beginner's chase. I'm sorry, Matt, you couldn't get your hat trick, but no, never fear. Right, let's hope for a couple of winning naps then from the boys. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to be looking ahead to Friday at Goodwood and Friday at Goy as well. The same trio will be back, so hopefully plenty of winners. Until then, stay safe, stay well, and please do subscribe to the pod.